Okay, what's going on?
AudioToYou.com.
The home of quality podcasts.
Stay tuned to this channel.
Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 158 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from Shutters Inc. Podcast. And I have just finished a couple of days at the PMA trade show, otherwise known as the Digital Life Expo in Melbourne. And I had the opportunity to wander around with the flash recorder and interview some of the vendors. And so this podcast is just going to be a wrap-up of, basically those interviews. So without any further ado, let's go to it.
I'm here with Ben Halcom on the Samsung stand. Ben, welcome to PMA 2010.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
So what's Samsung got that's new this year?
We've got a lot of new product. For Samsung this year, it is about, I suppose, changing the perception of Samsung as a brand, and we're focusing on premium product, things that push the photographic boundaries. We've got the NX10. The NX10 is an amazing little camera. It is part of a new concept of camera, the next generation of cameras, what we're talking about. It is a mirrorless, interchangeable lens compact camera. So it has the heart and soul of a DSLR, but it's half the size. And that's an amazing little camera to use.
Okay, so you can change the lenses on it.
Yep. You can, so it's a fully interchangeable lens camera. But what we've done is we've taken out the mirror box and the pentaprism, taken it away, which reduces the flange back, making the camera significantly smaller. So the flange back is the distance between the rear element of the lens and the sensor. So by taking that out, we can make the camera much, much smaller. Now, it is a very powerful little camera. Unlike the competition, it's running an APS-C sensor, so it's running the same sensor as what most digital SLRs are using. But the body size is it's actually the same size body as the competition, but we've got a bigger sensor inside it, we've got a built-in viewfinder, and a hot shoe on top.
So what you're saying is the body size is similar to most of the four-thirds cameras, but it's an APS-C sensor.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Nice.
Now, what you also have is you've got three lenses at launch. You've got a Pancake 30mm f2. It runs a 1.5 crop factor, all right, so that's a 45mm f2 lens. You've also got an 18-55, so that's roughly your 28-85, and you've got your 50-200, which is your 75-300 in 35mm terms. The one really cool toy that I do have, and I know that we're on voice and not on pictures, but I have my lovely little K-mount adapter. So I can put any K-mount lens straight on the front here. So I've got a lovely little 10-17 fisheye that I can't help but photograph with. So most of all the images up here on the screen are done by me.
Makes
very versatile. Very, very versatile. So NX10 is one of our focus cameras here. I know, yet again, it's something we can't show in talk, but we can show you. I can show you, and you can describe it to the people. This is going to be released in Australia very soon. NX10 in white.
Okay.
It looks a little bit like a stormtrooper, but I am absolutely in love with it. The white and the black just really look nice together. It just pushes the boundaries on what a camera should look like.
It certainly stands out.
Absolutely, absolutely. So some of the other focus products for us is on this side over here is the WB2000. WP2000 is about high-speed CMOS sensor. So it's capable of capturing full HD video at 1080p and at the same time capture a 10-megapixel still photograph.
Wow.
So that is an amazing little camera. It does sweeping panorama as well as sweeping action panorama. So with sweeping panorama, we can do some lovely little panorama shots, just dragging the camera across and we grab a panorama. But we can also do action tracking in it, so we can put a bird in the first frame and it will actually track the bird all the way through and put the photograph of the bird all the way in there as well. So it's an amazing little camera. As I said, it's very good at doing video. It does 1080p video, but we can turn the resolution down and go up to 1,000 frames per second in high-speed capture.
Wow.
So it's just a very, very versatile little camera at a 449 RRP.
Nice.
So amazing little camera with that one. But wait, there's more. Do you want some steak knives with that? What we also have is the EX1.
Yep.
World's first f1.8 to 2.4 compact camera with a 24mm 3x optical zoom lens.
Nice.
It's got a 1 to 1.7 sensor in it.
Yep.
So it's got a larger sensor than a normal compact camera. But the big thing about that one, it's a 1.8 lens.
Yeah.
1.8 to 2.4. Yeah. It's finishing its aperture when most of the other competition's cameras are even starting. All right, so cool things about this is it is about shooting in low light with an f1.8 lens,
yep.
But you also have a hot shoe on top. It's the same flash that works with the NX.
Nice.
You do also have your built-in flash, but you have the functionality of all the smart auto features, so you've got all the usability of a normal compact camera, but very easily selectable, program aperture priority, shutter priority, and manual.
Wow.
Flip around AMO LED screen,
yep.
So the quality of the screen is just amazing. So it's the same technology screen on all our premium product, which is AMOLED, stands for Active Matrix Organic Light Emitting Diode. Very nice, very good quality screen. So there are three focus products. We also have a very cool two view, which is put yourself in the picture with a second screen on the front. Have you seen that before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so we'll go for a quick walk across here. So with two view, we've managed to put a second screen on the front of the camera.
Wow.
So for doing self-portraits, we can put ourselves in the picture very simply. But it's a very cool child mode. So with the child mode, it'll actually, and you'll be able to hear this one when I turn it on. With the child mode, we'll put it into child mode. So it plays a little cartoon character on the front, as well as makes noises.
Oh, nice.
All right, so to make the kids look at the front of the camera. So, you know, with the whole idea about the front LCD is putting yourself into the picture. So we can now see ourselves very clearly that, you know, when you're putting yourself in the picture, we can turn the smile shot on.
Yeah.
So that when we automatically smile at the camera, it takes a photo for us. Okay, we've got three models in the two view range.
Yeah.
You know, ranging from $299 upwards. So a $299 is an affordable camera.
Nice. And I assume that all the cameras you've shown us today are on the market now?
All except for the WB2000. WB2000 will hit the market at end of June in Australia.
Fantastic. Well, Ben, thank you very much for your time.
No problem at all.
So I'm at the Nitram Photographic Services stand, and I'm talking to Tim Gledhill.
Hello,
Tim,
Bruce.
Welcome to PMA 2010.
Thank you. It's the first time I've ever exhibited at any PMA, and I've been to many along my 19 years in the industry, so I'm quite happy to be an exhibitor.
Fantastic. So what's the idea of this Camera Recycle Australia?
Well, I look back along a lot of photo imaging emails and bits and pieces coming out, and I saw a lot of talk about recycling and how nothing was being done within the industry. And I thought, what can I do as a predominantly a service-based industry to assist the retailers get more foot traffic and to do something for my grandchildren's children? Won't happen now, but something that needs to be done for the future.
Sure.
Looked around, I thought, well, you've got Mobile Muster, you've got Planet Arc, no one's doing cameras. Why not? Cameras are being updated every 24, 36 months. Hundreds. So we thought, Camera Cycle Australia, let's give it a shot.
Okay, so how does this work? What's the implementation of it?
We get the recycle boxes into the retail outlets.
Okay.
The consumer comes in to drop off their broken, water damaged, unwanted cameras. They then get shipped back to us in a required paid box. We do one of three things. We assess the camera. If the camera works, it gets donated out to the schools. We just got on board with the Disabled Association in ACT to assist them with their donations as well. Or they get looked at and stripped down into their bare components, metals, glasses, plastics, and shipped off to the recycling companies through there.
Fantastic. So it's a way for the consumer to get rid of unwanted electronics in a environmentally friendly way, and it doesn't cost them anything.
Nothing at all, except a bit of time.
That's great.
And a promotion.
That's great. Well, well done.
Thank you very much.
So are there companies like in other countries doing this?
Not that I'm aware of. No.
Wow.
I've done a lot of surfing and I haven't seen anything like what we've set up.
Wow.
There's a lot of people that may just get a camera, crush it, and ship it over to China or somewhere, and they do all their work over there. But the way I saw it is we can keep everything happening within Australia, one, and I don't want to sound like a politician, keeps jobs here, keeps money here, and it keeps recycling here. If we can do that throughout Australia, it'll be fantastic.
That's awesome. All right, well, all the best, Tim. I wish you the best with it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm on the DigiFrame stand with Lil Jolly. Hi, Lil.
Hi, Bruce.
Welcome to PMA 2010. You enjoying it so far?
Yeah, it's great.
Now, this little gadget you've got in front of me is fantastic. Do you want to describe it for us?
It's a portable photo scanner that scans your print photos from all your photo albums and onto SD card as a JPEG.
That's fantastic. And this thing's only like, 8 inches wide, I guess, and it's just a feeder. So just basically feed the photo in one side and it spits it straight out in real time onto an SD card.
That's right.
That's pretty awesome. And are these available like in retail?
Yes, they are.
And how much do they cost?
They're $169 retail.
And what sort of stores would you find them in?
Camera House stores. Also on our website, digiframe.com.au.
That's great. Excellent. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks, Bruce. No worries.
I'm at Photo Gifts World talking to Vicky Singh. Vicky, welcome to PMA 2010.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, everyone.
This is a very interesting concept.
Yeah, this is a new concept. We started this because of the digital camera, customers stopped coming to the printing shops and lot many companies their shops were closing.
Right.
And this is a new customer to bring the customer back to the shops.
Okay, so do you want to describe it for those who can't see this?
Yeah, sure. We produce personalized artwork from your images. You send the photo to us online.
Right.
We do the artwork and we send the file back to you.
Okay.
And you can print it on canvas, any size, any surface. And our traders can make very good profit margins out of this.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got some great styles here, fun caricatures,
yeah,
pop
yeah,
art.
Yeah, we are doing about more than 20 services. It's oil painting, pop art, caricatures, and fairy art, fairy fantasy art,
this
very famous
great
ones.
Stuff. Well, I will make sure that we get your website into the show notes so that people can come and visit your website and check this out, because I think this is great.
Yeah, definitely. My base website is photogiftsworlds.com.
Okay.
And my Australian website is imagegiftideas.com.au.
Fantastic. Excellent. Well, Vicky, thank you very much and enjoy PMA.
I thank you very much for that.
I'm at Print to Metal with Frank Hoekstra.
Yep.
How are you, Frank?
I'm good, Bruce.
Welcome to PMA 2010.
Thank you so much.
So Print to Metal, I remember talking to another company who were very similar type of product at PMA in Sydney last year. This is phenomenal.
That's Neil, isn't it? With the anodized aluminium.
That's him?
Yeah, he's a great guy and he has a good product.
So is it the same as what you do or is it
no,
different?
No, it's not. It's totally different.
So what do you do?
Well, our material, our aluminium, which we have in satin and in brushed aluminium and the ultra gloss, it's actually infused into the metal, so it's quite a bit different from also dye sublimation. It's a different procedure and you know, it's totally different. So we are the first one in Australia and it is a wow product.
It's a stunning looking product.
Yep,
it really is.
Thanks, Bruce.
And would I be correct in thinking that you have a domain name, Print2Metal?
Yes, print2metal.com.
Yep.
We also have a shop in Melbourne that's 245 High Street, Bren, 3181. You can always call us or just email us, and we're more than happy to help everyone who's interested in the product.
Well, anyone who's in the professional photography game should be looking at this sort of product just as that little point of difference type of thing.
Oh, mate, this will be so different for a lot of people, like especially artists and photographers. I already spoke with architects as well and designers. Everyone is over the moon about it because it's different and differentiate your product from all the others as well.
Now, you were saying just before we started recording that about an 8x10 is about $40 Australian.
Yeah, it's about $39.
Quite good given what the product is. And
that's correct.
And the life cycle or the lifespan of the product.
Yeah, it's archival quality, it's scratch resistant, it's waterproof, weatherproof, and it's easy to clean.
So given that it's weatherproof, it could be hung outside?
It could in subdued conditions. I mean, you have to understand.
I was just going to say, will it fade if it's in the sun?
Well, what doesn't? I mean, if you stay long enough in the sun yourself, you probably fade as well. But we're actually working at that at the moment. We do some tests to have a better longevity in direct sunlight.
Wow.
Subdued sunlight, like in your backyard or whatever, you can do it. And also try to... it lasts a lot longer outside.
Okay. Now, where I was going with that line of questioning about the pricing is I love shooting panoramas. So do you do, you know, unusual aspect ratios, or do you just stick to the standards?
Oh, absolutely, Bruce. We listen to our clientele. If they have specifics that they want us to do, we do that.
Right.
We go out of our way. It's what our clients, our customers, what they want. It's not what we want. Yep. We are here for them.
Great attitude. Yep. And what size can you print up to?
30 by 45 at the moment, but very soon we are going to go bigger.
Wow.
We try to double the size in the next 6 months. So Yeah.
I've got to say, shipping's going to be a bitch.
Well, this is what we're looking at as well, because the shipping, that's the hard part. But
because you can't roll it.
Yeah. No, you can't. That's a bit of a hard one, isn't it? I wish I could now, but our packaging is pretty good.
And so how thick is the aluminium sheet that you print on?
It's 1.5.
Mil,
yeah.
Right.
Not inches. That would be very heavy.
One would hope not. So an 8x10 wouldn't weigh much at
no,
all.
No.
Probably 100 grams, maybe?
Probably about that, yeah. Bruce. Costing for a smaller size won't be that huge.
Even if you're printing a 30x45, it's not going to be a heavy image to hang on the wall.
That's correct.
Awesome.
So it's just a little bit cumbersome when it comes to the bigger sizes with shipping.
Right.
But it'll be okay. So
fantastic.
We're working, we ship nationally and we also ship to New Zealand. And also internationally.
Fantastic. All right. Well, Frank, thank you very much for your time.
Bruce, thank you so much for your time. And I wish you all the luck and enjoy your show.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
So I'm on the Olympus stand and once again talking with Lisa Forrest, whom we caught up with in Sydney last year. Lisa, welcome back to PMA.
Oh, thank you. Welcome to our stand at PMA.
Thank you very much. Now, of course, last year it was all about the EP1.
Yes.
What's changed in the last 12 months?
Well, lots changed. We've first of all got the EP2 now. And we've got a new addition to our pen family, the EPL1, which is our pen light range, which is great. And because we've got two cameras now in their pen range, we've got even more people who...
hang on, isn't it three now?
Well, the EP1, of course, is still out in the stores. The new ones, though, in terms of the range, are the EP2 and the EPL1.
Yep.
And with the P1 and the P2, they're kind of very much for that person who is very into their photography, probably has a large SLR, and is looking for a little bit more of a convenient point-and-shoot style of experience, but not willing to compromise on that fantastic image quality of an SLR. So P1 and P2 is great for that kind of customer. But we've got a new beast of product, the EPL1,
right,
which is a different customer altogether. Now, this customer is going to be that person who is maybe looking at a compact, had a number of compact cameras, looking for something better, but not quite sure if a really large and bulky SLR is going to be for them.
Okay, but doesn't the EP1 and the EP2 also address that market?
Can do, but the PL1 does it so much better.
So what's the difference?
So the difference for the PL1, again, people who are more used to a compact camera, PL1's got a flash inbuilt into the system, so it's a lot more convenient, a lot more, again, like a compact camera experience. And the other thing that the PL1 has is a fantastic feature called Live View.
Okay.
And what Live View does is you effectively use the camera and you don't need to understand technical photography terms to be able to get the most out of your shots. So again, it's great for someone who's maybe had a few compact cameras, doesn't have time to go to photo school, and is looking to do some fantastic creative new photography. So with this new feature, for example, instead of opening your aperture or closing your aperture, we've got a very easy to understand tile here, which is called blur and sharp. Do you want a wonderfully nice and blurry image, or do you want something nice and sharp? And all you can do with a simple touch of a button, you can move your slider on the screen up or down, and effectively what you're doing is changing your aperture, but you don't need to know that.
Right.
So it just makes it so much easier to use and much more like a compact kind of experience, which is fantastic.
This sounds like a great gift idea for the non-technical.
Oh, totally. And it's not for people who are, you know, maybe not capable of understanding your technology. Some of us in society have just got other things to do, and we're too busy, and we just want something to keep up with us rather than us having to go through a whole guidebook having to learn how our products work for us. So it's much easier to use in that respect. The Live Guide also even has a fantastic feature inside which gives you shooting tips. So it's a little bit on how to use the camera, but also on how to get a better angle. So, for example, if you're shooting your kids or if you're shooting your pets, think about getting on the same level as them. See the world through their eyes, and it gives a whole new perspective.
So you're saying
photos.
The camera is going to give you little hints on screen?
Absolutely.
Hey, idiot, you're doing it wrong.
Not quite. No one's an idiot.
A slightly more tactful approach. But
absolutely. Just gives you a little bit more creative inspiration on how to get more out of your photos, because really at the end of the day, we can put a lot of technology into our cameras, but at the end of the day, it's great photography is about the person behind the camera.
Sure.
It's about how you want to express yourself. And all we're doing is a little few tips and hints on how you maybe want to think differently about how to better capture a shot. It's going to make you a better photographer, not only how to use the camera.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm assuming this continues the tradition of the EP1 where you can change lenses?
Totally. We've got the same lenses that work on the EP1 and the EP2 also work on the PL1.
Yep.
We've got two new lenses that we've just brought into the market today at PMA. We've got a new 9-18mm lens, which is a wide-angle lens. Fantastic and very, very small, about half the size of our traditional SLR equivalent lens.
Yep.
And we've also got a great new lens, again, for people who are maybe looking for a very convenient solution and an alternative to compact. It's our 14-150mm lens. So this is 28-300mm, basically a 10 times wide-angle zoom lens in a compact speak. And this lens will do about 90% of all the photos that you want. So, again, for convenience, you can take it out if you're on holidays, for example, traveling in a new city. One lens you can take out for the day, and it's going to get you most of the shots that you need.
Fantastic. And so the EP2 and the PL1 are in store now?
PL1 is in store now, yes. EP2 definitely in store as well. PL1, the single lens kits are $799, so fantastic price. So again, for people who are looking to upgrade from a compact camera. That's for the single lens kit. We have a twin lens kit, which comes with our existing 40-150mm lens, and that's $999, a really aggressive price. And as of July, we will have a new kit with our 10x zoom lens, that all-in-one lens, and that will be $1,299. The P2 is in store now, again for our photography enthusiasts. It comes with an electronic viewfinder, 1.44 million dots. This is a fantastic thing. And it also comes with a single lens of a 14-42mm, $1,799 in stores at the moment.
Fantastic. Okay, well, I think that just about does it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your time.
No problem. Thank you for coming to our stand today.
I'm on the Fujifilm stand with Matt Dole. Matt, welcome to PMA 2010.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
It is. So what's new on the Fuji stand this year?
There's quite a lot happening at the Fuji stand, as you can tell. It's a large stand. We're showing a lot of different things. So we have all the bases covered, really, from consumer through to the business end of photography.
Yep.
So on the consumer side, we have a wide range of digital cameras.
Yep.
So our award-winning HS10 and other compact cameras that are very popular. We have probably the most exciting thing on the stand this year is the 3D area.
I was going to ask about that.
So a large area is dedicated to our W1 camera and all the things that can be done with that. So we have the W1, which is the world's first digital 3D camera that you can take photographs and see the images on the back in 3D without any glasses.
That's pretty amazing.
That's right. Yeah, so that's on the stand at the moment. That's getting a lot of interest. And we have the V1 viewer, which that actually allows you to see those images without glasses as well. So an 8-inch viewer.
Right. So just, you know, getting away from Fuji products specifically, where do you see 3D, you know, 10 years out? Like in terms of the photographic industry, do you think it's going to be a big part?
I think you have to be a very brave man to predict 10 years out in this
okay,
industry at all,
enough.
So I wouldn't be prepared to do that. Look, I think that we're at the tip of the iceberg, really, with digital 3D photography at the moment. It's just really about to take off. It's obviously had a lot of waves in the past in different guises, but I think this one's about to take off.
There certainly seems to be a real groundswell at the moment in terms of, you know, there's 3D TV coming, you've got more and more major blockbuster movies being shot in 3D, you've got, you know, all of the photographic push towards 3D. Do you think consumers want it that badly?
I guess that remains to be seen. I think we're certainly hearing a lot of interest. A lot of consumers are curious to see what is happening.
Yep.
I think the television industry will be the one that drives it at the moment, because there are some very big numbers being talked about for the different television manufacturers that they expect to be selling this year.
Right.
And once a consumer purchases a 3D screen, of course, they want to create their own content. And at the moment, there is only one way to create your own 3D content, and that's with our W1 digital 3D camera.
Right.
So it'll shoot 3D stills and videos, which you can watch on your 3D television at home.
Oh, wow. So it does both.
It does. Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So can we go and have a look at it?
Sure. So this is our W1 3D camera. As you can see, it's a little larger than a normal camera, but that's basically because it has two lenses and two sensors.
Yeah.
And the sensor combines them both into a single 3D image. And the screen on the back, as you can see, actually allows you to view the image in 3D on the screen without any glasses.
Wow. So what
sort of images does it produce? Are they like JPEGs, or is it something proprietary?
It produces a file called an MPO file, and that is a new 3D standard which has been adopted by SIPA for the 3D file format.
Right. So that's kind of going to be the 3D version of JPEG?
That's right. It's basically, it's effectively two JPEGs combined to a single file,
wow.
Left and right image, in a new format called MPO.
Okay, so with a camera like the W1, if you've gone out and you've bought the camera, but you're still not quite ready to completely embrace 3D, can you get a 2D image out of it?
Absolutely. You can take a 2D and a 3D simultaneously.
Oh, nice.
Yep. And there's a lot of other things you
can
do
with 2D. So it'll store both the MPO and the JPEG on the card
at
the same time.
That's right.
Fantastic. Man, it's an amazing time for technology.
It is. Look, it's very exciting that to be a part of this, and I think it's onward and upward. I think this is going to really take off this year.
And are the W1s in store now?
They are.
And what do they retail at?
The retail on W1 is $899, recommended
wow.
retail. And the viewer, the 3D viewer, which we have here beside, is $699 recommended.
So what's that? It's about a 7-inch touchscreen type?
It's an 8-inch.
8-inch.
Touch control, not necessarily the screen. And that's using the barrier parallax system so that you can actually see the images without the need for glasses.
That's awesome. And what does the viewer sell for?
$699.
Okay.
Yeah, recommended.
So for a little over a grand and a half, you're into the 3D market.
That's right. Well, or you can buy the camera and your own home 3D TV. So LG, we have LG screens here, which require the glasses. But it's obviously a much bigger, more immersive experience.
So the 3D TVs that are coming out, like not necessarily just Fuji, but will they all support the, what was the format you called it?
The MPO. Well, it seems to be being adopted as the industry standard. So, as I mentioned, it's the SIPA standard file format. So, all the ones that we've tested so far are working fine with it.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right, Matt. Well, thank you very much for your time.
No dramas. Cheers.
I'm at the Canon stand, and I'm talking to Chris McLeod, who is the EOS brand manager for Canon. Welcome to PMA 2010, Chris.
Welcome. G'day, Bruce. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, mate. So what's new this year?
So we've got a lot of cameras on the stand,
yep.
And a lot of lenses as well, but primarily the new things, we've got the EOS 550D,
yep.
The EOS 7D, and a couple of new lenses, which is the 100mm macro, and the 70-200 f2.8 Series 2 lens.
So I'm assuming the 100 macro is a 2.8?
That's correct. It's the first macro lens with image stabilizer as well. So they're getting a lot of attention at the moment.
Okay. And the 7D, that's a step up from the 5D?
It's a step down from the 5D.
Okay.
So it's a slightly different camera. It's more...
So you have to forgive me, because I'm a Sony shooter, I don't know the Canon product line.
We'll have to get you across the line. No problem. So the 7D is a fantastic all-rounder for enthusiast photographers. Really promoting fantastic at speed.
Okay.
So it's got 8 frames per second,
wow.
Whereas the 5D is more about brilliant image quality. It's a full frame sensor, 21 megapixels.
The 7D?
Sorry, the 5D Mark II.
Yeah, yeah.
So the 7D is 18 megapixels,
right.
8 frames per second, really good in low light as well. So it's a great all-round camera for enthusiast photographers.
And it's a 35mm frame?
It's an APS-C sensor.
Cool. And the new lenses, you said the 100mm macro?
100mm macro, 2.8.
And the other lenses?
It's the 70-200 f2.8 Series 2. So they're both gaining a lot of attention on the stand
today. And what does the 70-200 go for on the street?
I think it's about $3,299 RRP.
Yep.
Don't know what it goes for on the street, but that's I'll tell you the RRP.
Fantastic. And
only got interchangeable.
Sorry,
that's
driving
me crazy. It should be in the
corner.
In addition to product, we're also promoting the World of EOS. So the World of EOS is a website we created last year, and it's all about pushing all photographers, be it your entry level and enthusiast, to the greater level of photography. So within the World of EOS site, which we've got shown on the screens over here and also on the computers, it's all, we've got video tutorials, about 25 online already. We've got some challenges like Photo Chains, Photo 5, which we've had thousands and thousands, like 35,000 images uploaded to over the last 12 months. We've got over 20,000 members of the World of EOS. So we're really pushing that this year as well.
That's fantastic. And is that open to non-Canon users?
Of course it is. And actually, it's actually surprising we've got about 20% of our audience non-Canon users. So
wow.
I see that as a big opportunity to get people across to our brand, because they're already very engaged with what we're doing.
Nice. All right, well, I wish you all the best with it.
No worries. Thanks,
and thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
No worries. All the best.
See ya.
Thanks, mate.
So I'm on the Ricoh stand, and I'm talking to Bill Baird from LensPen. Bill, what is LensPen?
lens pen is a product for cleaning. Our base product is for cleaning camera lens, fingerprints, etc., from camera lenses.
Oh.
We've been manufacturing this product for 15 years now. And basically, it just absorbs fingerprints from your lens. I put some good fingerprints on there. I got a soft brush, remove any grit, etc., from the lens. And then I have carbon black compound in here.
Wow.
Which just absorbs the oil and fingerprints, etc., from the lens. Additional carbon black in the tip. Every time you finish using it, pop it in, give it a couple of twists, good to go. Good for 500 to 600 uses.
What a great concept.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
And so this is available in retailers?
It is, yes. Tasco is our distributor here in Australia, and it's available. Has been quite some time.
That is fantastic. And do you have an idea of roughly what these things sell for in the shops?
Yep, they retail for basically $19.95.
That's
$20.
Awesome.
$20. But the one I really would like to show you, this is our new product, that one we're really proud of.
Yep.
In fact, and this is for cleaning the sensors on the digital SLR cameras.
Now you're talking.
And this has been, this has been something that people have asked us for a long time. Said, can we use your lens pen on the sensor? And the answer has been, no, you can't.
Right.
So we developed this product, which basically enables you to, I've got four LED lights on here, six times magnification, enables me to look right on into the sensor.
Whoa.
I'm on the camera. If I see any dust in there, I have my SK1A pen, which actually removes. Just go in and you can see. It's kind of like a surgeon working.
Wow.
And you just go in and just gently remove the dust, etc., from your lens. From your sensor, your CCD sensor.
That's fantastic.
And our real claim to fame with this one is we just sold 40 of these to NASA. And they're up in the space station. This is what they're using for the space station.
Now, what is this product called?
It's called SensorClear Loop.
Nice.
It's lens pen SensorClear Loop kit. This is actually a kit. What you got is you've got the loop itself, you've got the pen for removing it,
yep.
And there's a rocket blower just to blow out any dry dust, etc., that you may get in your sensor.
That is very exciting.
Yes, we're having fantastic reaction for it.
As a landscape photographer who's always changing lenses in the field,
right.
This is the bane of my life.
Right.
So, that's exciting.
Well, and the manufacturers charge you $50, $60, $70, $80 to clean your sensors. And you've got.
And what does this kit cost to buy?
It retails for $100, basically, $99.95.
Yeah, but it's a one-only cost.
One-time shot. That's exactly right.
That
you can use
awesome.
It as often as you want.
Now, we have a listenership that is global. So for those of our listeners who are not in Australia, is there a way that they can find this product online?
They can get it online from our website, which is www.lenspen.com. But we have distributors worldwide. We sell internationally.
Fantastic.
So it's basically now and available in every country in the world.
Well, Bill, that's a very exciting product, and I'm glad I happened to swing by and talk to you about it.
Glad you did too. Thanks for the opportunity.
No worries. I'm on the Senyo stand with Chris Moore from Senyo Oceania. Welcome to PMA 2010.
Thank you very much.
So what's Senyo here to show off this year?
Well, there are three key things as far as I'm concerned. Obviously, the number one thing is the fact that we have a range of dual cameras. So they're not camcorders, they're not still cameras, they're a combination of the two. They're
okay.
A hybrid product. And so what we are here to do is to get across the aspect of high megapixel still capability on all of our products,
yep.
Coupled with full HD video,
okay.
With optical zoom on every single product.
So am I to understand from that original description that these are cameras which are not a still camera that has video functionality, and they're not a video camera that happens to do stills, that they're trying to be both?
That's correct.
Okay.
At a high quality standard.
Okay. So which particular models are we talking about?
Well, it is across the range. So from the top end, the VPC SH1,
right.
All the way through to the CS1,
yep.
Which is the slim product, the waterproof CA100.
Wow.
So we have a display here, so feel free to dip your hand in the water with one of those products, but they are waterproof to a depth of 3 meters.
Okay.
Also,
for snorkeling.
Oh, absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely, and for any water-based sports activities.
Wow.
Also coupled with the 14 megapixel still capability and full HD video.
Fantastic.
So everything in one.
And so what sort of media are they storing?
These are all SD card.
Right. So that would give you access up to 32 gigs?
Actually, up to 64.
64 gig. Now?
Yes, cool. Absolutely.
So that would give you how much video recording time?
It works out around 1 hour per 4 gig.
Wow, so about 8 hours of record time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that right? No? No, 16 hours of record time. Wow, that's pretty cool. So that must be using a fairly compressed video format to store it then.
It's MPEG-4.
Okay.
H.264 format.
Okay, yep.
Which is also the Windows 7 compatible.
Yep.
And obviously Mac compatible as well.
Yep.
The two top-end models, the VPC CS1 and the SH1, both have what's called the iframe function.
Right.
Which is the native resolution that iMovie uses to upload and edit video footage. Just makes the whole process a lot quicker and a lot smoother.
So it means you're not having to re-render before you edit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Okay, and are all these products on the market now?
They're coming onto the market over the next month or so, but yes, the SH1 and the CS1 are on the market now. The GH1 is just coming on the market, and the waterproof product, the CA100, will come on the market next month.
And what sort of prices are we looking at?
We're looking at the range of 349 to 599.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so price points are very, very key.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, Chris, well, thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome.
And all the best with the show.
Thanks very much.
I'm on the Nikon stand, and I'm talking to Nick Seger, who's the Senior Marketing Manager for Nikon Australia. Welcome to PMA 2010.
Yeah, thank you very much. Busy time, hey?
It is. It's good to see there's a good turnout here today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's just starting now on, it's what now? Just coming up to 2 o'clock on the Saturday,
yeah.
So all the consumers starting to come in now, so it really starts from now on, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's Nikon promoting this year? What's new?
Well, for us, it's really just about, we've got obviously all of our DSLRs here, all the way from the D3000 up to the D3X there, so that people can come along and get their hands on pretty much every single body. We have all of our long lenses, all the way up to the 600mm, available for anyone to come along and have a go on. So really the stand's designed to be very much a hands-on experience. We have a lot of staff on hand to be able to answer any questions that people have. Adding on to that, from more of sort of a higher-end DSLR point of view, we've got a low light studio where we're just going to showcase some of the strengths of our products, like the D700 and D3S, which can pretty much shoot in the black. So there's some good demonstration areas there. We have a lecture theatre where we have some of our Nikon ambassadors, such as Mark Watson, talking about some of their favourite shots and how they got them. We have mini Nikon schools, which we've just announced the Nikon school, and also some NPS photographers coming along as well, just to give some background on their favourite shots. So really the stand's really designed to be very interactive and very educational at the same time. And finally, the other big thing from our point of view is all our new Coolpix, which we just launched in around March. So everything from the L22 up to the P100, which also have a really good tie-in now with our DSLRs. They have the same lens technology, used to be the ED glass.
Okay.
Products like the S8000, which is a great little camera, 10x zoom, 14 megapixels, but has the same screen on the back of it as a D90. So it's 920,000 pixels. So it's a really, really good bright screen on the back of them. So we're pretty happy with everything we've got here. We've got some new lenses, like the one I'm standing next to here, which is this 200-400.
Nice.
Brand new. It literally just arrived the day before the show. So yeah, I'd encourage people, if they can, come along, have a go, and enjoy it.
Fantastic. Mm. So tell us a bit more about the Nikon School. What's that? Is it a website?
Nikon School, we announced that on Thursday. Nikon School is actually a physical course that people can go along to.
Oh, okay.
So it's starting in Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane from the end of this month.
So is it running through TAFEs?
No, it's running through... the structure of the course is it's held in central locations for a start, so it's easy for people to get to, and it's held in sort of 4 or 5 star hotels.
Oh, okay.
So we wanted to have the experience quite a premium one.
So it's a bit like a travelling roadshow.
Yeah, but it's in the same destination every week. So the course starts, they'll start on the 26th of June and they run every single Saturday. So the first course we're starting with is beginner DSLR.
Okay.
So that would be people who would be using D3000s, D5000s, D80s, D90s. And the structure of the course is, the morning is sort of know your Nikon.
Yep.
So an NPS tutor there will literally take you through all the buttons and things like that on the back of your camera and how it all works. Then we focus on sort of more photography terms. terminology, ISO, aperture, shutter speed, and then the afternoon of the course, but because of the locations, is more of a practical. So you go out into places like botanical gardens and actually take the shots that you've been learning about in the morning and then take that back to the classroom in the afternoon. So it's a day-long course between 10 and 4. As I mentioned, starting on the 26th of June in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, and we're adding Adelaide and Perth on in a couple of weeks as well. So simply go onto mynikonlife.com.au/school. There's all the information on it on there. So we're really excited about it. We think that education and helping people to get more out of their product is the future. And we think Nikon School is going to be a really exciting part of our business going forward.
Fantastic. The whole educational side of thing is just exploding right now. I'm seeing so many different companies who are getting into the education area. I guess the whole digital photography arena has just opened photography up to so many more people, and there's greater need for education.
And we still find a lot of people using the 3000s, the 5000s, the 90s do leave the camera on auto. You know, you get some amazing shots on auto, but you're missing a lot. That's right. There's so much more potential to unlock around different types of shots that you can get, whether it's sort of your holidays or your kids or your family and things like that. And the intention of it all is that people will then show those photos and do more with them. So a lot of people would take great shots and it just stays on a hard drive. But we really believe that, you know, you got to showcase that, whether it's through showing them on your TV or, you know, getting onto an Epson printer and getting
coffee table books.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. So encouraging people to get better shots and doing more with it. I think that's really where the future is in terms of getting people inspired about taking great shots. So
excellent. All right, Nick, well, thank you very much for your time.
No problem.
And enjoy the rest of the show.
Yeah, you too.
I'm talking to Professor Des Crawley from UWS, which is the University of Western Sydney.
Yes, hi. How are you, Bruce?
I'm very well, thanks, Des.
Yes, pleased to meet you.
Likewise. So how are you finding PMA this year?
Well, it never ceases to amaze me, the diversity of ideas that I pick up from just wandering around the stands. Fascinating this year in the representation by a number of companies that I would not normally associate with the photographic industry.
Right.
And that, of course, reflects the convergence that's occurring, not just in technology, but also in the use of ideas and the way imaging is morphing into a communication process that integrates a wide variety of technologies, a wide variety of traditional professions.
So what sort of things are you talking about there?
Well, you're carrying one in your hand.
Yeah.
An iPod.
This is actually a Yamaha Pocket Track.
Well, I have bad eyesight. But that...
Oh, it's phenomenal.
...is an example. You asked for an example. There are hundreds of them, but that's an example that people between the ages of 10 and 30 are quite comfortable using as their photographic archive, their photographic capture,
their photo
album.
To display to other people,
exactly. It's their vehicle for communication.
Yeah.
And when you look at such a piece of technology, it actually brings together the image, the use of light, the use of text, the use of graphic, the use of film, music, the use of movement, and the use of performance. And that's the future of photography, is the integration of those five or six traditionally distinctive forms of expression. They're coming together. And whether photographers like it or not, whether graphic artists like it or not, whether audio engineers like it or not, they're all going to have to talk together and work together, because in 10 years they'll be one.
That's a very interesting insight. I was talking to the guys at Fuji earlier on about 3D and, you know, just how much that is starting to appear on the landscape. And you know, is it really something we want? And the guy I was talking to said, well, you know, it's too early to make a prediction, but it's certainly the way things seem to be going.
Well, I'm old enough to remember the kind of conversation that went on when the audio cassette was introduced.
Right.
This was the state-of-the-art, revolutionary piece of technology that was going to do all of these various wonderful things. And now, of course, any time that there's a council clean-up, you can see cassette tape recorders out there as last century's technology. 3D is just one manifestation of the way imaging is going to be used. It will have a place to play, but I don't think it's necessarily going to be a central place. It'll be an add-on. It'll be a value-added element to the broader imaging world, simply because there is so much cost to limited benefit ratio involved at the moment, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, Dr. Crowley, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. So I'm at Maxwell Australia with John Swainston again.
Good afternoon.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, it's great to be.
I cannot believe how fast 12 months went by.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? Yeah, but when you're having fun, that's one of those things.
That's exactly right. So what's new on the Maxwell stand this year?
Well, where would you like me to begin?
Well, we're at LowPro, so why not?
Well, I want to talk about a couple of bags at the complete extreme.
Okay.
We're going to talk about a new little entry-level bag, which doesn't look like anything you've ever seen before. It's called the Passport Sling.
Okay.
And what this is designed for is the photographer that just wants to go out, not look like a photographer, might want to take things like their rain jacket.
Yep.
So we've got an extra little sleeve here, and what it does, it just gives you a whole extra amount of space.
Oh, nice.
And you zip it away, and it's gone.
Fantastic.
So it's a very small bag. It's got room for your passport in the front. That's why it's called the Passport Sling. It's a shoulder bag, and it has a little hoop. It looks a bit almost like a giraffe because it sort of comes up
taller on one side than on the other. Yeah.
So what's so nice about it is that you can take out the photographic stuff.
Right.
Not that that's ever nice.
Yeah.
And you can use it just as a general day bag.
Sure.
If you've got your camera on the front.
Okay.
If you're going to be in Europe, of course, security is a big thing.
Yeah.
And because it doesn't look like a camera bag, that can be really
an
a big advantage.
Yes.
Big advantage.
Yeah.
So that's one.
Okay.
At the other end of the extreme, we've gone to a new series of pro trackers. This is the traditional sort of, this is what LowPro is about.
Yeah.
And what we've done is we've started with a design from scratch. We've got years and years of history, but this is an all-new bag built from the ground up. So we've started by taking over 3.5 kilos out of the weight of the bag for the same internal capacity.
That's nice.
That's a massive reduction from 7.5 kilos to 4.
Wow.
And depending on what configuration you have. So the other thing is we did a lot of work with ergonomics.
Okay.
And we looked at the average 70 kilogram lady and said, what's the maximum weight that person can carry for an extended period? We went through anatomical analysis, got guidance from physiotherapists and so on, and said, okay, that's the bag that the serious female enthusiast can still carry and not do damage to the bag.
Wow.
It's still got all the traditional ability of the back of the bag to slide up to find exactly where the pelvic support is and so forth. Got the all-weather cover, and it's an extraordinary backpack. Very hard to describe a bag on radio.
It is. And I see we've got one of the bags with wheels on down here.
Yeah, now what we've done here,
I need to get myself something like this.
What this is for is the commercial photographer who's going to an assignment or a wedding photographer.
Yep.
It's called the Pro Runner X series.
Nice.
X is our wheel series, so we have Pro Rollers, Pro Runners.
Yep.
And this is a convertible backpack. So it has a complete backpack harness which you can fold away, or it's a full system that enables you to shoot with your laptop, and there are some nice features in the bag which enable you to use all of your lighting equipment, take up to a 400 millimeter lens inside. You've got all your gadgets in the lid, and of course it's got an all-weather cover, which is a LowPro original.
Fantastic.
This year at the show we're launching our new brand, LowPro, the trusted original carrying invention since 1967.
Nice.
So more than 40 years of firsts is something we're very proud of. And there's lots of reasons to be very happy with the way new materials are enabling us to do new lighter bags with even more protection than before.
Fantastic.
We're now over at another part of our stand with even more noise, so we're going to try and keep you fairly close to the microphone. We're talking about Pownal Photo and Expo Disc. These are two ways that we can make it very easy for photographers to be more productive.
Yep.
There are two things that modern photography encourages people to do. Take more pictures because they're digital,
yep.
And secondly, sit in front of a computer retouching for days. What Expo Disc is designed to do is to get your light and white balance right, much better than the auto white balance will do.
Right.
And literally, just like an incident light meter, you put the Expo Disc in front of your SLR camera, you set your custom setting, very easy in either the two major brands, Canon and Nikon. The methodology is slightly different, the result is the same,
yep.
And then you've set your white balance and you can go shooting. And typically, if you're shooting a wedding or you're in an inside area or there's artificial light, set it once and there's no post-production. I had that at an opening recently where I was shooting the Minister of Arts, opening a show at Sydney's ACP, and I couldn't believe the difference. I had less than half an hour to clean up and frame the pictures. I would normally have spent 4 or 5 hours. So for the $160, $124, we must have reduced the price. It's just the most productive tool I've ever had.
Yeah.
And then
how good is Pownal Photo stuff?
Well, I just love it.
I love it. Yeah.
So this is really our first entry into. We'll have lots more things later on in the year from the same people that bring you Expo Disc.
Right.
So modern flash guns are just so incredibly capable.
Yeah.
And whether you're using trigger systems with Canon or whether you're using the built-in ITL system from Nikon, you can use wireless automatic flash or discover the simplicity of manual flash,
yeah.
Which is even more creative.
That's right.
So what these are light modifiers. They help you control your flash, and as a result, for example, with the simplest of all of them,
the speed snoot,
used as a reflector, again, no post-production, that little white mark that always appears in the middle of people's faces, and you have to blend in a bit of the rest of their forehead. You've all been there, I'm sure. Well, that's all gone once you use this Pownal Photo product. So we're very excited about these. They're all they're less than $50.
Yeah.
And again, if your time is worth $10 an hour, in just 5 photos, you're going to have all your money back.
Yeah. No, we interviewed Dave Pownal a while back on the podcast.
I remember.
It was very exciting, and it is a great product, and I'm very happy with it.
So, one more?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, the last thing I'd like to talk about today is a new tripod that we've got from Velbon. We're very lucky to have Mr. Sam Shinoda here, who is so busy, he's with a customer, so you'll have to put up with me.
That's okay.
But this is a new tripod which we'll be bringing into the market in a few weeks called the Ultra Luxy L2.
Right.
Don't worry about the excess number of letters, it's what the tripod does.
Yep.
There's nothing useful about a tripod you leave at home. And most of us leave the tripod at home too much of the time because it's too heavy.
Yep.
So what Velbon have done with this tripod is they've developed to one of the lightest full-height tripods ever made available.
Right.
And I'm just going to try and simulate on radio how quick this is.
Okay.
So you count the seconds,
okay.
If you're listening at home, yep. And what you do is you just go out,
one, two, three,
out,
four,
and out,
five, six,
and we're ready.
Seven. Okay, so 7 seconds to extend 3 legs. That's pretty damn good.
And the great thing is if you've got to move on, it takes even less time to put it away.
Right.
So that means you've got a light tripod. It's instantly available. It'll go in your backpack and it folds down.
So what I'm trying to get my handle on is that you're doing some sort of a twisting thing with the last part of the leg.
That's correct. And this is an invention of Ken Nakatani, the president of Velbon, great engineer, and he's done a terrific job. And look how short it is.
That's
that
fantastic.
Will go in a domestic carry-on bag.
It's probably only 11 or 12 inches long.
It's actually about 14 inches long,
okay.
Or 36 centimeters, and I think you're find it's 1.08 kilos.
Whoa.
And it's got a complete with a ball head.
That's nice. And it's got an extendable center column as well.
Absolutely. So
full height, what does it come up to?
It comes up to the height of the average male, which is about 184 centimeters.
Nice.
So I've missed a whole link there, I think. Yeah, we missed one.
That's fantastic.
So, we think that's going to be pretty exciting, and the great thing is it's going to come in for under $200. So,
and is this one of the Kevlar fiber?
No, that's what's so amazing about it. This is an aluminium tripod,
wow.
And it's this special technique with the legs, which is the invention here.
That is so quick.
That folds up and gives you effectively a whole extra section of height, folded away.
I love that. I mean, I love my man Frotto, but it does take a while to extend the legs out and correct. Tighten up all of those twist screws.
And the worst photos are the ones you missed because you were setting up.
Yeah, tell me about it. Man, that's very impressive. All right, John, well, thank you very much for your time today.
Bruce, it was great to have you here.
So I'm at Better Photoshop Techniques stand, and just across the hall is Visible Light, and with me is Philip Andrews, fellow Adobe ambassador. Welcome to PMA 2010.
Great to be here, Bruce, and the crowds are incredible. We can't believe just how deep the crowd is, especially for the presentations. It's just wonderful to see.
Well, I'm just looking across at the Visible Light stand, and there's not a spare seat to be had.
Well, it's an interesting year this year because Adobe's not here, and Adobe normally provides a stand with lots of presentations, back-to-backs, speakers talking about all sorts of tips and techniques. And so the guys at PMA came to us at Visible Light, which is essentially a team of six prominent speakers, and like myself and people like David Harradine and Peter Eastway and Mark Gaylor and Les Walkling and Darren Leal, and said, can you guys put on some sessions, education sessions? So we phoned all our mates, and we basically got 36 sessions back-to-back across the 3 days, every half hour, and it's been packed from the time we opened yesterday morning to today.
You got to love that.
We do.
It's kind of funny how you know, someone like Adobe decides not to come, and it opens up a massive opportunity for somebody else like you.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate the opportunity. I mean, these guys are actually volunteering their time because they realise that there's a deficit of education at these kind of events,
yep.
And it's what people are really seeking. A lot of the tools are fairly complex, and if you're new to the tools, they can be a little bit,
daunting.
Some of them have quite sophisticated options, and unless you've got someone guiding you through those options, it's a bit of a steep learning curve to actually get to know how to handle those things. So getting someone who's uses the tool on a regular basis for professional results to give you kind of the heads up on the fastest way to get the best results is a wonderful thing.
Well, that's it. I mean, I remember when I first started learning Photoshop, I was just overwhelmed by the number of options, and it's one of those things that once you understand the paradigm, it kind of makes sense, but it does seem like a hell of a cliff to climb up at the beginning.
Well it does, and these days with Photoshop Elements, Photoshop and Lightroom, often we can do the same types of changes, enhancements and editing in all three packages, and people get confused. Which is better? How do I do it in this package? Should I really be doing it this way? How do I link two of these packages together?
Yeah.
All of those are different options, different permutations, and it really takes someone who has a good understanding of all three packages, how they fit, where they, what type of workflow they work with, to actually give you that kind of advice. And at Visible Light, if I can just take a couple of minutes to talk about the team, we're actually doing a three-city tour later this year.
I was just about to ask.
Oh, terrific. I'm glad you were. We're going to be in Sydney 27th to the 30th of August, in Brisbane the 1st to 4th of October, and Melbourne the 22nd to 25th of October. And it's a four-day event. It's the biggest event, that educational event across Australia this year. Six presenters, 12 workshops, 16 seminars across the 4 days. You don't need to come to every day. You don't need to come to all 4 days. You can just drop in for one event or one workshop if you want, or you can come for the whole event, including we've got a conference dinner on the Saturday night where the presenters will present some of their own images that have changed their life, and they'll talk about their personal experiences with those images.
So do people pay access on a per-day basis, or do you buy it as a four-day package?
You can buy a four-day package. You can buy one one workshop, you can buy 2 days, it's a mixture. You just go to visiblelightonline.com and you'll see the registration forms there for each of the cities, and you can mix and match. You can see all of the topics and in-depth program there to see what the topics are, the level of the topics, who the speakers are speaking on different topics. And this year we've really taken a workflow type approach. Capture, process, print, present, and even a bit of video. So for you guys who are actually shooting a bit of video in your DSLR cameras, definitely come along. We've got some stuff for you as well. And don't think that it's going to be too high level, because all of us still shooters are just starting out at a very basic level for that video. As far as the capture process and print and presentation stuff, we have a multitude of levels from basic through intermediate to quite advanced as well.
Fantastic. Well, there'll be a link in the show notes for anyone who wants to check out Visible Light.
Thank you so much, Bruce.
No worries, mate, and good to talk to you.
Yeah, terrific. Always good to talk to you guys as well.
So I'm on the Kodak stand with Clyde Rodriguez, who is the Business Strategy and Partnership Director for Kodak Australasia. Clyde, welcome to PMA 2010.
G'day, nice to meet you. How are you?
Very well. So what's new on the Kodak stand this year?
Okay, what's new about Kodak is the way we are developing our products and services.
Okay.
Whether it's our capture products that you're looking at here, or whether it's our output products that I'll talk to you about in a minute.
Sure.
We've got a very simple philosophy. Okay, we have intellectual property that covers the complete spectrum of imaging science.
Sure.
Because we have two divisions, a commercial and a consumer division.
Yep.
So therefore, at our disposal is everything you can imagine in the imaging science arena. But what's our focus? Our focus is on the consumer. That's the key demographic that comes into a photo retail store. And that is a young mum, and we call her Katie.
Right.
It's a young mum who's 30-something who knows what she wants, is probably educated, she's got kids, she likes to share her lifestyle and her images with her friends and family. She has one major problem, and that's time. Okay? Yep. So what do? Forget about the technology. Take that for granted. We have capture products like our new digital cameras, M-series cameras, and what it does in very simple terms is answer the questions that we've gone and asked. So it's not engineers designing products that they want to do. It's based on questions and answers we've got from these consumers.
Right.
What annoys them is they find it difficult to share their images, and about half of them that capture images say they don't like the way in which they share images. It's difficult. And they're also concerned about how they retrieve their images. They got thousands in a memory card, can't find it. Very simply, what do? For cataloging, we have facial recognition, so biometrics, that puts her daughter, Sarah, into the Sarah folder, etc.
Okay? Nice.
It also has on there a bunch of email addresses, Facebook addresses, so when we're out and she takes a photo and someone says, can you email it to me? At the time she tags that person's email address and forgets about it and everyone else's. She goes home, charges her camera on her computer, nothing launches, the camera through the broadband on the computer sends the email and the Facebook photos off.
Wow.
So she doesn't have to do anything and remember and think. She hasn't got time. Okay, so that's the capture side of it in a nutshell. We've got our pocket video cameras that also have easy share functions on it. So let's come over to where Katie comes into her store.
Yep.
And she says, okay, I want to print my photos.
So we're looking at a kiosk.
We're looking at a kiosk. In real simple terms, what are we doing on the kiosk? Of course, Katie can put her memory card in just like any other kiosk and bring her photos out. But very importantly, what we're bringing to Katie is the ability to go into her Facebook account on here.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Through the kiosk.
Because our research tells us that about 70% of people that print at retail have a Facebook account.
Yes.
And off that 70%, 82% of them, okay, have images on there.
Wow.
It's probably higher than that. Nearly everybody today said, there it is. Go to a Facebook account, I'll use a name, put your login, put your password, I've done it before, my albums come up, I pick the photo, and very importantly, it's not just about a 4x6 print. So we've got creative products on here, and with a touch of a button, she can make greeting cards, invitations for her daughter's first communion or or her baby's christening that she doesn't have time to make. She likes to be creative. She's an intelligent woman. So she doesn't want to buy 20 Hallmark cards and write the names and addresses. She wants her baby's photo on the christening invitation personalised.
Sure.
She can do it. You can do it either on an instant kiosk where it comes out at your knees, where you don't want anyone else to look at your images or touch it.
Sure.
And you haven't got time to wait for a clerk to make it for you. Or you can send it off to a new Apex Dry Labs that's been in the market for a couple of years.
Yep.
And the power of our Apex Dry Lab, once again, we have the technology to build a dry lab that has inkjet, that has electrophotographic, that has the thermal printer that we've got here, which is dye sublimation using heat to transfer dye onto the paper. And we've chosen for our dry lab to use the thermal system, not because of the technology, but because the obsession with building this dry lab from the engineers and scientists' point of view is to get the person that's operating the machine to spend the maximum amount of time with Katie in the store. What you are standing in is our new retail photo bar concept that we will... This is going to be in a shopping centre. Someone can come here today, you can buy this and put this into a shopping centre. This is a retail store. You are standing in a store.
Wow.
So, a technician doesn't operate our dry lab, a salesperson operates our dry lab.
Right.
Okay? So, if we'd send the order through to here, your name comes up. It's this simple. You click on your name, you click on release, and the print comes out. The point is that I come over, do that, leave it alone and come and talk to Katie about our products and services.
While it's printing.
And you can see if you stand here and look at the operating system, this is the obsession with the building, with engineers and scientists. You look at the operating system.
Yep.
From here, you can tell the orders you have.
Yep.
There's a petrol tank that fills up as the order gets finished.
Right.
And the orders you need to release.
Nice.
So if you've got some orders waiting, and I say, Katie, I'll be back in a minute.
Yep.
Just walk over, touch it, come back over and help Katie.
Fantastic.
Okay. This is how far we've taken the concept of making sure that the salesperson, not a technician, is with Katie. The number of consumables that the salesperson has to manage in a lab, it's got two.
Yeah, right.
For all the sizes, 4x6, 5x7, 6x8, it's got two.
Wow.
8x12. Why? Because it's thermal, the final layer is a clear layer.
Right.
With a different heat profile, you can make one gloss, you can make one satin.
Oh, wow.
So you choose what you want on the kiosk.
Yep.
The salesperson doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
The thermal profile produces satin or gloss, whatever you want.
Out of the same printer.
Out of the same printer. So you need a little printer and a big printer. The little printer has one box, the big printer has a big box.
That's great.
So you open your storeroom and you can look and see how many little boxes and big boxes, whether you're okay. It is an obsession with not spending your time facing the machine, but facing Katie. But we used thermal there, okay? We've got our double-sided printer.
Yep.
Everything you see is purpose-built from the ground up in the research laboratories of Kodak. Everything, whether it's software, whether it's the engine, doesn't matter. It's from the ground up. Whether it's the sensor, we build the sensor because we have research labs that cover all the spectrum. For our double-sided printer, we don't want thermal printing. We're saying that doesn't necessarily make sense. So what have they chosen? Electrophotographic printing, which uses toner and paper.
So that's like a laser printer?
Yeah. Now, there's the point. Firstly, in terms of this printer, the gentleman's in the research lab that put it together, they showed me a model years ago, didn't let it
basically
come to market.
Duplex printer.
Right. That's how obsessed they are with having it set up so that it's kind of be the minimum amount of time and energy to run it in the store. The paper path goes around a drum, in and out. Why?
Wow.
Complex paper path means jam, means I can't be with Katie.
Yep.
Okay? Laser beams, to your point. But laser beams move.
Okay.
I said, how do we not do that? LEDs, nothing moves. That's the extent that the engineers and scientists go to.
Right.
To develop a product, forget about the technology, do it so that it delights Katie. The engine that the processing house that processes the order to a double-sided printer, to a wide format inkjet printer, to a small 4x6 printer, or to a large format printer, is the same operating system, and it's intelligent. Why? because it does things like, depending on your tiered pricing model perhaps, mm-hmm. where you have high price for quicker prints versus lower price for come back tomorrow, it doesn't just print them sequentially. It will order them.
It'll manage them.
And we're continuously developing the operating system software to make it easier for the salesperson who's operating it to service Katie. What do we mean? One of the questions you'd ask, when are my orders going to be ready? Instead of having to stand and think, it knows how long everything takes, the different orders, and it prints it on. It's going to print it on the docket for you going forward with a new version. So we're continuously working to make it easier and easier and easier for the salesperson to delight Katie. Because you, stating the obvious, you make sure that the consumer that's in your store here with you is delighted with the experience, not the product, experience, they will come back. And it's not about taking money, more money from them. It's about delighting them in the experience. Because at the end of the day, the majority of the products that you see here cost a cappuccino or two or three.
Sure.
Okay? So when they go home, you want them to go home and say, when they show it to their family and friends, look at this, isn't this gorgeous?
Yeah.
And when we finish, if you want to, you can go on your Facebook account and you make a card, and I guarantee you, you'll go, wow, that's amazing.
Fantastic. Well, Clyde, thank you very much for your time.
It's my pleasure. Nice to meet you.
I'm at KL Australia, and I'm talking to Robert Gatto about the Datacolor Spider. So, welcome to PMA.
Yes, thank you very much.
So, the Spider is all about colour calibration for your monitor?
Yeah, it's a turnkey solution from camera through to printer. Datacolor have they started their product range with monitor calibration, added printer calibration, and saw an opportunity to add some camera calibration with the new little cube that's out now.
Okay.
Which is going very well. But
so how does that work? I mean, if you're shooting.
So the cube is a little bit unique in the market because it has a silver specular ball, which I suppose no other calibration device has, because they're mainly grey flat objects.
Right.
And it also has a black trap built into it also. So you can actually really capture and understand what your absolute black is versus what a shadow is.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's a little unique in what it is, because there are lots of just straight grey, black, white cards on the market.
So is it doing something to your camera prior to shooting, or is it working with the image that's coming out of the camera?
You place it in the photograph, and then whether you're in your editing software at the time, you use it to analyze the neutrality of the image.
Right, so it's like a complicated gray card.
Something like that, yes.
Fantastic. And so then you've got your spider, which you hang over your monitor.
Yep, so we've got three spiders in our range. We have the Express, a Pro, and Elite. The hardware is identical throughout the range, but the limitations are within the software, and as you go through the range, you get more functionality.
So does that mean you could start off by just buying the Express, and if you then felt you needed the extra functionality, you could just upgrade the software for it?
So actually, you can't buy the Express and upgrade to an Elite, but you can buy a Pro and upgrade to an Elite.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So most people do start at the Pro.
Right.
We really, the Express is sort of made for those Apple cinema displays that have a brightness button only.
Right.
But most monitors have a little bit more functionality, can use the functionality in the Pro, and then if you wish to, you can upgrade your software to go to an Elite, which will give you TV, plasma, projector calibrations also.
Nice. Okay, and then how does the printer calibration work?
So we have a strip reader, so it's a spectrophotometer, so you can, if you have custom papers, you might have an Epson printer, but you want to print on a Canson paper, which there are no custom profiles available. You print your patches, use your spectrophotometer to read those patches, and you can build a custom profile for your printer ink paper combination.
Right.
And they're very, very affordable these days compared to the cost of ink and paper, which is
for sure. Okay, well, Robert, thank you very much for your time.
No problem, thank you.
So I'm at a Sukha Asker book
yes
with Lindsay Merritt.
Hi.
Welcome to PMA.
Thanks very much.
So we probably should spell it out. So it's pronounced Uska.
Uskable.
But it's spelled A-S-U-K-A.
Yes, most people call it Asuka.
Asuka, Asuka, yes. Right, yes. Something like that.
The Japanese, Uskable.
Right. So this, I mean, the whole industry for photo books has just exploded in the last couple of years.
It has, yeah.
Tell us about your product. What does it do differently to the competition?
I think our strength is in the quality of our printing.
Right.
And the consistency of our product.
That's a biggie.
It is.
Consistency is big.
Yeah. We comply to international colour management standards.
Right.
And as long as our clients also comply with a calibrated screen, which is a normal standard setting, there's nothing particularly outstanding about the settings required. D65, gamma 2.2, luminance about 110. Whatever you see on the screen is basically what you'd be able to get back in print. And we provide a soft proofing profile, our printing profile,
right,
so that the designers and photographers can soft proof on screen.
Yep.
And preview how the product's going to print. And it's very consistent.
Fantastic.
Yep.
And so is it a service where you upload your images via the web?
We are a web-based business.
Right.
A lot of people say, where are you based? Kind of doesn't matter. You can operate this in a broom cupboard, really. It's a new world marketplace, and everything, all of the interface that our clients have with us is online. Obviously, there's a technical support line where you can talk to a real human being.
Right.
However, you register online, you download templates online, and our software online. You upload online and pay online, and the only thing that doesn't happen online is the delivery of the book, which comes by mail or courier.
Fantastic. So are you limited only to the Australian marketplace?
New Zealand for us.
Right.
We are the second distributor in the world. There's about seven.
Right.
Just gone, our last one's just opened up in the United Kingdom.
Yep.
America was the first. But we're right through Asia, Switzerland and Portugal, Spain, France, Britain. So we're a worldwide company now.
Fantastic. Now, I've noticed a couple of your books lying open. It looks like they have a seamless kind of hinge type of technology happening there.
Some of our books are.
Right.
We would call those the lay flat book, and they are seamless. And some of our books do have a gutter, but in the Asuka book range, there are about seven different products. So they start from a soft cover book bound, which does have a gutter, and our hard covers have a gutter. But once you get into the EX range or the Neo Classic or the lay flats, those are basically seamless. You can just run a print straight across the two pages. So fairly simple and a nice presentation.
And what sort of prices are you looking at, you know, from the bottom of the range to the top of the range?
The smallest, least expensive books are around $300.
Right.
And our most expensive books, which might be our Neo Classic or our leather-covered books, could go up into the $700 range. But that would be for, say, 100 sides, leather, custom printed case, etc., etc. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, and what's the website where people can find you?
www.asukabook.com.au.
Fantastic. All right, well, Lindsay, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
So I'm at the SanDisk stand with Joshua Velling. Joshua, welcome to PMA 2010.
Thank you very much.
So SanDisk are obviously the world leaders in flash memory. I saw the board around the back here with your list of accomplishments.
Yes, indeed. SanDisk makes its flash right through. We're a vertically integrated company. So what we do is we manufacture the flash.
Yep.
We make the controllers, and we sell those worldwide.
right.
Okay. Now, I noticed on these little cards that you've got here that you have card readers as well as memory cards.
Correct.
I never realised that.
No, so what we find is when you purchase or use a high-speed CF card, something like a 90 megabytes per second, these are very fast cards with the high capacity, something like, say, 64 gigabytes, what you need is a reader to transfer that data off the card quickly onto your computer. So we have a range of readers which will support the rapid extraction of data from the cards.
So I'm not using a SanDisk reader, but I am using SanDisk cards in my Sony Opera 50 here.
Yep.
And what I find is that it takes an age for me to download my raw data off these cards. Is that because of my card reader, or is it a limitation of the USB bus?
Okay, so it'll probably a combination of both those factors. USB 2 has certain bandwidth. Obviously, there's talk in the industry of a new version, USB 3, which will be faster. Once that comes out, that'll obviously remove that bottleneck that exists between that download process. To overcome that problem, SanDisk has just released a new card called the Express Pro card, and it's an Express card, so it uses the Express slot into a notebook, and that will allow the maximum speed of the card to go straight through to the device.
Nice. And so will that allow 90 megs per second straight off the card?
Correct.
Wow. That's pretty cool, because I mean, I shoot RAW on this thing and every file is 40 megabytes, and I find it takes about, you know, 6 or 7 seconds to transfer one file.
And that's really relevant for people, especially professionals, who are taking a lot of images. They are taking high capacity files, RAW exactly, and that's going to cost
200 or 300 images.
Correct. So that's going to, and time is money for them.
Yeah.
So you need to be able to take that images off quickly, that's when you'd use that sort of product that we've just talked about.
Fantastic. All right. Well, Joshua's going to give us a high-speed card demonstration. So which card have you just loaded into this camera?
I've just loaded in an Ultra CF card, which is rated at 15 megabits per second.
Right.
And I'm setting my camera, which in this case is a Canon 50D.
Yep.
I'm setting that into a RAW Enlarge JPEG,
yep.
And I've also changed it into a continuous mode. So we're going to take what I'm going to do, we're going to take some burst images, and we'll time how long it takes to take 15 shots and write it to the card. So we're going to do that exercise. So on the count of three, I'll ask you to press the start button.
Stopwatch. Yep.
So 1, 2, 3. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Keep going. Stop. What we're going to do is we're going to wait for the light to go out, because the light indicates
that it's still writing.
That's still writing, and we're going to compare we'll compare the two different speeds.
Okay.
And also, you would have heard it went very fast at the beginning, and then it slowed down. And what that was happening there was that the buffer was filling up in the camera, and when the buffer was full, then it couldn't take the next shot.
Yep.
So what that means for the folks out there who was taking a photo is you're going to miss shots if you're using a slower performing card,
and that means light still hasn't gone off.
It's still going. So, and I only just taken 15.
Oh, there it goes.
And how long is that?
46 seconds.
46 seconds. So let's do exactly the same exercise using the SanDisk Extreme Pro, which is a 90 megabit per second card.
So that's what, 6 times the speed.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so we put that in. I'll just set the mode back onto the camera. All right, on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 15.
Okay, and the red light's still going.
Still going.
Got an image. Stop. And it's gone. All right.
How long is that? 13 seconds. So we've dropped it down from 46 to 13. And this is in a very loosely controlled environment. So,
absolutely.
But clearly you can see that the camera is performing a lot faster, And what that means is you're not going to miss shots when you're taking images.
Fantastic.
So that's the difference, and that's why we recommend that you use a high-speed card. The other thing about the SanDisk Extreme Pro is it's a very ruggedized card, so you can use it in Antarctica. You can use it in extreme conditions.
Oh, nice.
And that means, you know, if you're down in the snow or in that environment, you're going to make the images are going to be very reliably stored on the card, and that's very important when you're using your camera in different environments.
Totally.
Thanks very much, Bruce.
Thank you, Joshua.
Appreciate your time.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much.
I'm at the Microtia stand with Lee Jeffries from Neltronics, otherwise known as Microtia. Lee, welcome to PMA 2010.
Thank you very much.
Having a good day?
Yeah, very good day. It's good to see lots of bright and happy people. It's good to talk to pro photographers, but also the everyday users as well. So it's a good mix of people.
It's pretty good turnout.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought, you know, with so much on in Melbourne, you know, the footy and all that sort of stuff, there's a great turnout here. Food and Wine's on next door, obviously, but yeah. It's good. I don't think there's as many retailers here, but definitely the consumers here to have a look.
Yeah. Now, we've just been talking just prior to recording about Microtia's transfer technology from CF cards to get the images onto your computer.
Yep.
And you're telling me that it uses a reworked version of USB.
Of USB. It's called EPM technology. It's something that Microtia has built and patented, and they put it into their cards, but they also put it into their readers. So the consumer can't afford a FireWire reader at, you know, $340, but for, you know, for $20, $25, we've now got a very fast card reader that they can now directly upload their images. And like I said, it's a matter of put your card in the reader, put your reader into your PC, open your Windows Explorer, and your images are up that quick.
That's phenomenal.
Yep.
Well, I'm looking forward to trying it out because, I mean, I'm just using a generic no-name brand card reader on my machine at home. And what I've noticed with my Alpha 850, you know, because I shoot RAW, each of those images is about 40 megs.
Yep.
And it takes probably 6-7 seconds per image to transfer those across.
You play with your one and then play with this one and you'll be blown away with the difference.
So I'm just I'm struggling to get my head around how you can tweak the USB bus. Like, surely it has a limited bandwidth.
Well, it what they've done is they've just straightened out the lines in essence. So they've taken out the curve lines and made it one direct straight line. So we've got, for SD cards, we've now got an SD direct card. So it's just, you plug the SD card in, bang it into the reader, and that's it. It's away you go. Fantastic technology. Microtia always try and break the barriers. You know, we came out a couple of years ago with the 64 gig CF cards, the first ones to do it. Everyone said we wouldn't be here, we wouldn't survive. We're still kicking goals. We bought these card readers out in January this year and it's just gone off.
Okay, and are these available in retail stores?
Yeah, retail stores. We're selling them through, you know, the Betters, the Leading Edge, the Camera House, those types of stores.
Okay.
But yeah, it's new. We're only just getting out there and we're showing it here at PMA this year. We don't have the budgets of the other big conglomerates that are out there, but it's great technology, and when you use it, you won't use anything else. Like I said, we just supplied all the guys that are shooting Getty Images, that are shooting all the Socceroos stuff. Yep. They've taken all our gear away. They love it.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm very much looking forward to giving it a try.
Yep.
I had a question then. What was it? What was I about to ask you?
That's SD Direct.
Yeah, right. Awesome. Man, what was I about to ask? Hate that. Talking about budget. Oh, that's right. So the majority of our listenership is spread all around the globe. Is there a website where people can go and check these out?
Yeah, just go on to www.microtia.com. In Australia, it's .com.au, but .com, it will get you on there. All the information's there.
And they can find a retailer in their part of the world?
Certainly. Microtia is sold in the majority of the world. We own 36% of the market share in Asia. We're the only company that gives a worldwide guarantee on our product. So, and we give a lifetime guarantee on all our products. So a little bit different everyone else again. So the reasons that we might be a dollar dear here and there, but we've got a very, very good product.
Well, Lee, thank you very much for your time.
No problem. Thank you, Bruce.
Enjoy the rest of the show.
Thanks, mate.
Well, that's it for another year of PMA.
For those of you who didn't make it, hopefully we'll catch you in Sydney around about this time next year. That was just a small cross-section of the vendors who were displaying at the Digital Life Expo in Melbourne over the weekend, which has just wrapped up. I couldn't get to everybody, obviously. I tried to cover as much as I could, and I hope that was enjoyable and informative for those of you who didn't make it. Shelton, as you will recall, is one of the 9 photographers chosen worldwide by Kodak to go and cover the World Cup in South Africa, and he leaves Australia on Thursday of this week. We have tentatively agreed to record another episode of the podcast on Tuesday night. We'll wait and see whether or not that happens, because I know he gets pretty busy when he has big projects like this on the go. So hopefully there will be an episode of Shutters Inc. next weekend with Shelton, who by that stage will be in South Africa. So whether that happens or whether we have to wait a couple of weeks, until I speak with you next, take care.
This has been another audio2u.com podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com. Please send questions, comments, or feedback to studio@audio2u.com.